fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Welcome to the Wednesday show of fantasy football today. Fellas, Wednesday shows are my favorite shows. Which shows are your favorite?
The ones where you start off by cursing at us right before we start the show.
I knew it was going to be a great show after that.
I'm
going to
be really quiet today.
Shut the bleep up. 3, 2, let's go.
Hey, everybody. Fantasy Football Podcast. Yay. Today's my favorite day.
It is.
Literally, before we started, you're yelling at me after I made
you said something. I really didn't like what you said to me.
I know you didn't like it, but I was screwing around, and you shouted an
shut
expletive.
The bleep up.
You
3, 2, 1.
I read something in a leadership book once that said, when we have failures, it's my fault. When we have successes, it's our success. That was not the message I was getting before the podcast.
as if I'm the team leader here?
Of course you are.
What? Okay, I think, I'll tell you what.
Hold on. If we had won the podcast award, who would have gone to accept it and proudly held up the trophy and said, look what we accomplished. You would have done that on your own and given us credit, but you would have done that as our leader.
Adam?
Yes?
Is this an efficient start to the podcast?
No, this is a very inefficient start to the podcast, but I do think that our podcast had a very good week one. I think a lot of the guys we were high on, did really well. So I'm hoping we keep it up. And I always sort of gauge the success of the podcast on my teams, because I listen to a lot of your advice, and it's a good week one for me. And I just feel like, do you guys feel the same way? I feel like week one was very successful. Listen, Heath, let me cut you off, because I know you had a bad record, but a lot of the things you said came true. Like I don't know how you did so poorly, because a lot of the things that you predicted for week one actually ended up coming up true.
I drafted Jamal Charles a lot.
Yeah, well.
But you should have drafted Spencer Ware a lot.
Yeah, apparently.
And you didn't do that.
No.
Well, then you are the poster boy for handcuffing your running backs.
Yes.
And so just imagine Heath on a poster with a really sad face.
There's other poster boys.
There are.
That are dropping their handcuffs this week to pick up Eli Rogers.
That's true.
But.
Well, right. I mean, look, the two obvious handcuffs are awesome.
Yeah.
And Ware and D'Angelo.
Yes.
Right.
The third
Gotta
one was not so
your
much.
Investments.
And Michael.
Right.
Yeah. But the guy he was supposed to be the handcuff for actually played.
Right.
So.
Right, and you know, and then some handcuffs not even clear if they're handcuffs, like in Oakland, but whatever. But you know, it was interesting, we were talking before the show, and today we're going to talk a lot of trade stuff. We're going to also preview the Thursday night game, Jets at Bills. I wonder, did somebody at Monday Night Football lose a bet? Is that why we have Bears-Eagles in week two for Monday Night Football? That is just brutal.
I feel like every year the Bears get a national home game, and so... The powers that be probably figured, let's just get it out of the way.
Well, okay. I think they get, like, Monday Night Football gets fourth choice, right?
I don't know if that's true.
I know the networks get to protect games on Sunday, at least one apiece. It seems like Sunday Night Football gets to choose before
Monday
Night
Football.
Yeah,
Heath, I think you're right.
So I think they get fourth choice, and I mean, this seems like seventh choice.
But... Yeah. But back on topic here, we'll also look at the most added list. Be surprised at who the most added player is this week. Wide receivers. They were supposed to be the safe ones. People were avoiding running backs in the first round. And, you know, and right now, I don't know. It's weird how it's playing out because the first round running backs really weren't that good. But of course, wide receivers looking a little dicey right now with Watkins injured and Demaryius injured and Keenan Allen out for the year. What are your thoughts on that?
It depends. You're going to feel good about your zero running back strategy if you drafted AJ Green or Antonio Brown or Amari Cooper or Brandon Cooks. If you drafted those guys, then it worked really well. And if you were the unfortunate soul that started off with like Dez, Gronk, Sammy Watkins, which is a very realistic start, it doesn't feel quite as good.
Or if you even went Odell Beckham and Keenan Allen.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's 1 week.
Right. Works for me.
Yeah, the thing that I think people are going to get really upset about is just by script, forget about how it plays out, just going in, you got to be a little bit nervous about Todd Gurley.
Yeah.
Just facing the Seahawks, even though they're at home. And so if he has another bad game, or if Peterson has another bad game.
Or if both
have bad games. you're going to start to say, oh my God, what did I do?
The Devontae Freeman one I don't feel as bad about because we were all pretty much lower on Freeman than he was being drafted.
Sure.
Yeah. So, but still, I mean, you drafted him as in a lot of cases, especially if you went receiver, running back, or maybe even like in our Fantasy Football Today League, I went receiver and got him in the third round.
Right.
Yeah. You didn't expect Tolman to have the role that he ended up having in that game.
No.
And they are going to continue to go running back by committee, according to Dan Quinn.
I have an interesting one when you want to talk about pickups. Interesting, you know about, but my Tevin Coleman problem in our auction league.
Yeah, now, but you know, you gave me some buy low, sell high guys, and I think Dave and, or Heath and Dave should have some as well. Jamie told me before the show though that Todd Gurley was one of your buy low candidates, but look at his schedule: Seattle, at Tampa Bay, very good run defense; at Arizona, very tough start to the season when you include at San Francisco in week one. If you wanted to buy low on Todd Gurley, is now the time, or do you think we should wait until after this little four-game gauntlet, I guess?
I'd wait at least one more week.
Well, obviously, you get him cheaper if you wait one more week, but what if he does come out and have – it could be a bad stat line, but he still scores, and then his fantasy line is better than you know what people will necessarily look at.
I mean, Arian Foster broke off a 50-yard play against this defense. Todd Gurley could break off a 50-yard run and have a good day.
He could.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of whether or not he'll – have the opportunity to. He could have done it against San Francisco in the fourth quarter. He didn't play in the fourth quarter. The game was a blowout.
This is your nightmare scenario.
It is.
This is the nightmare scenario.
Right, but I can't help but think that eventually Gurley will turn it around. At some point, he's going to be a great buy low.
He did nothing the first 4 weeks last year, and he still finished.
Right. Oh, sure.
Absolutely. Sure. So he could do the same thing this year.
But you also drafted him in the fifth round last year. Right. So your team was probably in a little bit better shape. The thing that I think is interesting is, and this easily could have happened just based on average draft position, if you started Gurley with one of your first, let's say, four or five picks and Keenan Allen in round two, you know, because you looked at it and say, okay, I got stud running back, stud receiver, and now I'm good to go. And then if you came back in round three and it was maybe Brandon Marshall, I mean, your team could really be in a, I don't want to say dire situation because you're just 0-1, but you're down a key player and your number one pick is potentially going to struggle.
Well, I've got two teams where I started Gurley and the other one was Peterson. And then I took Charles at the end of the second. And then I thought I'll be fine at wide receiver because I got Demaryius as my wide receiver three.
Right.
And it's like, well, my team sucks.
Right.
But it's probably not going to suck all year.
No. Well, unless the hip is bad.
To finish the thought on Gurley, again, Seattle at Tampa Bay at Arizona in his next three games, do you feel good buying Todd Gurley right now?
I don't want to buy him right now.
Yeah, but
anybody that drafted him with the first round pick isn't going to punt.
It depends. If it's the scenario of Gurley and then whatever your next two picks look like. It could be Demaryius. You could have had Demaryius in the third round.
Well,
early
I don't
want
to. It's really tough to play those hypotheticals because there are so many scenarios. So let me.
But that's the thing you're hoping for if you're trying to get him now cheap. If you're going to wait it out and see what you can do, that's clearly the better move to make. But if you're looking at getting him now cheap, you have to be in the scenario of the owner drafted maybe Fleener as well. Maybe it's
right. So he just really got
right. Just
hard
got somebody just got hammered in week one with injuries or just poor situation. And is looking at it and you're saying, I'll give you, maybe it's you're giving him two or three players, which is probably what it's going to take. You're not just going to say, I'll give you CJ Anderson for Gurley because you think Gurley over the course of the season will be better, which clearly we all thought that, but you want to make sure you're doing something that is still going to make your team in a good situation by not, you know, just throwing away half your roster.
Right. The whole idea is you've got a good team already. Now you want to try and finish it off with another superstar. It never hurts to ask the Gurley owner, hey, how do you feel about him after a week? You want me to take them off your hands?
You never ask any Gurley, you never get any Gurley.
That's right. And you never ask Todd Gurley his age. Get it?
Right.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Very funny stuff. You know, yesterday I was talking about Jameis Winston as a sell-high candidate. I actually made a couple of Jameis Winston offers, giving away Winston in our podcast league, the only league I own him in. But I hope the guy I offered him to isn't listening to what I'm about to say. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have the worst schedule I've ever seen. Look at this schedule. At Arizona, Los Angeles Rams at home, Denver at home, at Carolina, then a bye, then at San Francisco, might not be easy, and then Oakland. Now, if you can stay afloat. Look, I'm not saying they're going to be bad every single game. It's just a tough schedule. But weeks 14 through 16, the Saints at the Cowboys and at the Saints. So that's your reward. But Dave, when you look at that schedule for Tampa Bay, Arizona, the Rams, the Broncos, the Panthers, a bye, the Niners on the road, Oakland, You know, forget about just Jameis Winston. What about Mike Evans? What about Doug Martin? Are you worried about these guys for the next seven games or so?
It's something that you have to keep an eye on and think about. And that's, we talked about that during the preseason too, yeah. Is that it's a tough schedule to start, but once you get to their bye week, which is in week six, after that, it's really not so bad. They do have a home game against Seattle in week 12, and those matchups against New Orleans, you wish that at least one of them was earlier in the year. But look, if you want to sell high on Jameis Winston right now, good luck doing it. I don't think anybody will give you anything for it. Mike Evans would be somebody you could consider selling high on, but I would rather just hang on to all of my bucks, no matter how they do this week and the next 4 weeks, and really reevaluate them after the bye. You have to take a long-term view with anybody in Tampa Bay.
I think this is a really tough start to the schedule, but also, if he's really a top 10 quarterback, he right. should perform against these guys. I mean, Arizona gave up 23 to a Jimmy Garoppolo-led Patriots team.
Right. I don't mind yeah. Jameis.
The Rams gave up 28 to Blaine Gabbert. The Panthers gave up 21 to Trevor Siemian. He's Jameis Winston. If he's going to be a top 10 quarterback, it shouldn't be a bust every week.
And, right. and some of these tough matchups could lead to him having to throw more.
I meant points they scored.
Oh, I see.
It could lead to him having to throw more. And you start to see these guys, you know, really come into their own. You know, so it's not necessarily an awful, awful situation. Especially with a guy that can move a little bit with how he runs.
Yeah. And like, we don't want to make too much of the schedules. It's not like Todd Gurley's going to have three more bad games in a row. You know,
he might.
Worth mentioning. He might.
Well, I mean, look, after week one, you saw is scary. It really is, you know, nerve wracking just looking at how unbelievably awful they were. I think I saw a stat that Tavon Austin had 13 targets and 12 yards.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They need to get creative.
He will cross the Dave Richard threshold for a good game once in the next three games.
Which is double-digit fantasy points?
Double-digit fantasy
double
points.
Double digits.
He may not get double-digit yards.
All right, guys, here's your tweet of the day. It's from Daniel. I'm glad to hear Dave Richard is doing better. I was worried that he was the guy running around on the field in the 49ers game with no shirt on. Is that you?
No, it wasn't me. I've stormed a basketball court before. I've never run on a football field during or after a game.
Really bad message in the stories about that, because I think it was SB Nation actually got a hold of the kid and talked to him. He was 16 years old.
16?
Turns out if you're a minor and you do that, they just call your parents and they come pick you up.
Really?
Oh, I gotta tell my son.
Kevin Harlan, I finally listened to it this morning. His quote at the end, that was the most exciting thing that happened tonight. That was priceless. Good call, Kevin Harlan. Email of the day is from Anthony. Should I panic? Oh, where's Anthony from, Dave?
Dover, Delaware.
Should I panic about Kobe Fleener? What happened this past week? This is another guy. Jamie has Kobe Fleener as a buy-low candidate.
I looked at the snap count for the Saints. What would you say the breakdown was, given how well Willie Snead, Brandon Cooks, Travaris Cadet, and for whatever you want to consider Mark Ingram played?
I'm going to guess Fleener played 75 to
81%.
Yep, he was second on the team behind Brandon Cooks in terms of skill players.
And he got the targets. He had six targets.
I thought he had four targets.
I think he was 1 for 6.
Four targets, one catch for 6 yards and four targets.
I mean, it's obviously gross to see Drew Brees throw for over 400 yards and four touchdowns and have the tight end only get 6 yards. It's pretty bad. But I think he bounces back this week. I'm not ready to sit him, much less cut him.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you look at the Giants, obviously they've struggled with tight ends. Going back to last year, and you saw Jason Witten get force-fed the ball. Now, that's clearly a different scenario because Dak Prescott was leaning on, as Dave said, his security blankies with Witten and Cole Beasley. But I think this could be a week where you get something more, certainly something significant, maybe more significant from Fleener, where you'll feel comfortable about him. And look, if you don't, then it may be time to just punt on him or try to find a second tight end if you're willing to carry two.
Is it wrong to go find a second tight end now? If you've got Kobe,
I don't think it's a bad idea if you wanted to get Ebron, if he was available to you. You know, and if you believe in some of those, I think Ebron's a first tier tight end, just in terms of looking at where he'll kind of finish. If you want to look at the second tier guys like Jesse James, Dennis Pitta, Vance McDonald, you want to carry one of those guys just to see what happens, then sure, you can do that.
The thing I noticed on the waiver wire this week is nobody besides me was picking those guys up. It didn't seem like maybe one of them.
I saw Pitta. Somebody besides me? No, I saw some people pick up Pitta. And I saw a lot of Jesse James. I picked up Jesse James in a bunch of leagues. And I tried to get Ebron. I actually got Witten in like three leagues. I was really surprised.
I saw that. Who did you drop? You dropped someone.
I had to drop Zach Ertz in our 10 team league. And, you know, that was a situation where my choices were dropping Ertz to pick up Witten or dropping James White or Kristen Michael. And I figured at this point, I'll just, if Witten is as good as Ertz, I'm fine, which I think he could be in a PPR league. So I'll just play that out depending on how long Witten's out.
Okay. I think the Witten and Cole Beasley thing is pretty interesting while Dak Prescott is the quarterback. His blankies, Dave.
Mm-hmm. Blankie.
Blankie. But both of them, Beasley too, you know. And Beasley almost had a touchdown. He dropped a touchdown in that game.
How long until we're getting a squeaky wheel Dez game? Like, he's not going to take five targets.
Me too.
I haven't heard him squeak yet.
You haven't. Doesn't mean Dak hasn't.
You know, what's interesting about Dez in week two against Washington is if he continues to line up on the left side where he usually lines up and the Redskins do what they did against the Steelers, that means he's going to get Breland and not Josh Norman.
I don't. The one thing I don't like that came out of that game is the narrative that Bashaud Breland is like a bad corner.
He ain't Josh Norman.
He's an exceptionally good corner. He just got worked by Antonio Brown. I think if Brown had been on Norman's side,
it would have been the same.
It would have been very similar. Breland is a
You think it would have been that bad? I like Breland, but I think Norman's better.
Well, the Redskins' wallet would say that Norman's better too, but I think you look at, to Heath's point, Antonio Brown would have done that to anybody.
Dez Bryant is not Antonio Brown. When it comes to route running, like maybe
nobody is
on one or two different types of plays in the end zone, he's Antonio Brown, but
right.
Nowhere else is he Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown is Calvin Johnson in an era when people are actually willing to draft wide receivers ahead of running backs. Like he's as dominant as Calvin Johnson was in fantasy, and he's justified as the number one pick because Calvin was still people still were drafting their running backs, you know, with the first overall pick.
And Calvin was up there too.
Sure. Calvin was up there, but Brown, I think right now, if everybody drafted today, he would go number one in like 95% of leagues, I think.
What do you think the first round would look like if we drafted right now?
I don't think it would be that much different.
I think it could be pretty different.
What would be different?
I think you'd see Brown a consensus one.
Well, he was.
Brown, Julio, right, sure. Green, Beckham.
Green might go two.
Green might go
yeah,
two.
Yeah, those four are going
David
four
Johnson would go high.
David Johnson's going five.
I still think Gronk would go where he was going before.
I did get a tweet. Should I trade AJ Green for Odell Beckham Jr.? And what would you guys do there?
If you can get it straight up, why not? You already got a great game out of AJ Green.
He's going to be so good.
He is, but so is Odell.
But I mean, the thing that I like about AJ Green, which unfolded on Sunday, and the thing that I think you heard a little bit of noise from about Odell Beckham, it happened on Sunday too, mm-hmm. is sure. if Cruz is back and Shepard's good. Right. There are more mouths to feed in that Giants offense. Whereas the thing I loved about AJ Green, which is why I kept talking about him all offseason, is there is nobody there. As great as Brandon LaFell did on his four catches for 91 yards, mm-hmm. it was the AJ Green show, which is going to continue. And I think you could make a strong argument that AJ Green is the second best receiver.
I'm going to make you choose, though. Who would you rather have?
I'll stick with Beckham.
After what I saw, I would take Green.
No, really?
I'll go with Odell.
It's not like, I mean, Adam, you're talking about the guy I had ranked third and fourth.
So I know.
It's not like I was that far apart on these guys to begin with.
Wow. No, that's cool. I mean, look, I get it. I get your argument. But Beckham had two end zone targets in a row. He didn't come down with it. He never plays
well
against the Cowboys.
This isn't a Beckham's bad, Green's better. It's just, you're giving me the option.
It kind of is a Green's better thing.
No, his scenario was better.
Yeah. All right. Well, I meant in fantasy, not as player. Okay. Let's look at the most added list, guys. We'll soon preview the Thursday night game, and then we'll talk a lot of trade candidates. We're getting so many questions about trading Spencer Ware and trading D'Angelo Williams, so I want to know your outlooks for them. The Ravens defense is the most added player in CBSSports.com leagues. They are playing the Cleveland Browns this week. Are you guys on board with that?
I added them in one league at least. They were towards the top. I wrote about DST streamers yesterday. And they were towards the top of my list.
Okay.
I got the Patriots in a few leagues too. I was happy about that.
Same here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Eli Rogers is number two. Now look, when it comes to most added, you have to keep in mind where ownership percentage started.
Right.
So for example, Eli Rogers is more added than Will Fuller, but he's not as owned as Will Fuller. Rogers is up to 35%. Tyrell Williams up from 1% to 20%. Will Fuller up to 78%. Theo Riddick, 75%, up from 58%. Mike Wallace is now at 56%. Eric Ebron was the most added tight end at 64%. You know, guys...
Where's Coleman?
What'd you say?
Where's Coleman?
Coleman's at 70. I'm looking at 73, but Adam might see 72.
So he jumped 14%.
Yes.
Yeah. 72-73% for Tevin Coleman. I do think if I have one regret from yesterday is that I did not spend enough time on the wide receivers. And I just want to ask you guys of the group. I mean, there were so many of them. You know, who were the ones that you think have the most season-long upside? So we're talking the shallower leagues, the Tajay Sharps, Will Fullers, Mike Wallace's of the world, all the way down to the deeper leagues with Eli Rogers, Tyrell Williams, Cole Beasley, Victor Cruz, who's now 45% owned. There's also Mohamed Sanu in the shallower leagues. You know, who are your favorites just in terms of season-long upside?
Fuller, Sharp, and Sanu.
Yeah, and I'd add Travis Benjamin to that list, too.
Yeah.
I mean, he almost put up 1,000 yards with the Browns mess last year. He's going to get a ton of targets.
Yeah, he's up 72%.
It's funny how it's unfolded. It's like basically the same scenario with a better quarterback.
Right.
Okay, so in a lot of my leagues, many of those guys were owned. So Tyrell Williams was definitely someone I think I added in a couple leagues. What are your expectations for him?
Look, San Diego's going to throw a lot, and they just lost their target magnet for the season. So the door's open for him to get, put a floor on it, 6 targets a week. How many games is San Diego going to have where Melvin Gordon's going to just dominate?
Well, it depends.
On the ground.
It depends if the coaching staff realizes that he's dominating on the ground, because he had a pretty good first half.
He was dominating
then,
on the ground.
And then they were like, you know, we're just going to go into shotgun and let Danny Woodhead go crazy.
That worked out well.
I feel well like six Woodhead. Targets a week is closer to Williams' ceiling.
I would say that's a ceiling too.
That's 96 for a season.
I think he can get there.
I think he could.
Out of the slot, playing frequently now. Do we know his snap count just from last week? We don't, Dave. Why don't you look it up? Okay, I will.
Okay.
I think he's definitely viable. I would put him clearly behind Eli Rogers, though, just because of situation, opportunity, player.
60% of the snaps for Tyrell Williams. 44.
But again, that was a game where they were ahead for the majority of it.
Right.
Right.
So if they're chasing points, which this
they really got away from Melvin in the second half?
Tremendously. What did he play? 30%.
He had 8 carries in the first half.
8 for 39 and 2 touchdowns in the
and
first
6
half.
And 14 in the second half. And Woodhead had more carries.
He had 14 carries in the second half?
No, 14 total.
6
total.
6 in the second half.
I'm trying to, also on the most added list, I'm trying to convince Jamie to make Victor Cruz his start of the week. How is that going, Jamie? How are my efforts going?
It's going somewhere.
He's going to score.
Are you even going to write the words Victor Cruz?
I was actually
start him soon.
I was trying to get him to make a different giant.
Huh?
I was trying to make him put a different giant as the start of the week.
Yes. But
Eli?
No. Rashad Jennings.
Everybody's starting Eli this week.
But I told Heath I try not to use the same opponent twice, because then we're just not really doing
it. Right. Who are the Saints playing? Yeah. Start that player.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's why I can't make Giants Saints the bonanza, even though that game had like 95 points last year.
I don't think that's the right choice for the bonanza anyway.
What's the bonanza? No. I don't want your influence.
I don't
make that decision entirely on my own. And then there's one other guy that I wanted to talk about. I don't love his schedule, but he's out there in deeper leagues now. I would even guess he's on the most drop list. And I think you could really make a case for Kenny Stills, because if Kenny Stills catches that touchdown, that long, long touchdown, would have been the second longest touchdown of the week behind Brandon Cooks, I think he's probably on the most added list. And he's maybe about 20% owned.
22. Going
22%.
Into the week. Yeah.
So am I crazy here? I still think there's something to like here with Kenny Stills.
What are the odds that he gets the same type of opportunity?
I think they're good. I don't think he gets behind the defense for an 80-yard touchdown, but I think just based on the preseason, if he's really the number two for the Dolphins, I think there's a good chance that he gets opportunity.
I'll rephrase. How good of a chance does he get for those kinds of opportunities once Parker is healthy?
That's the question. Well, I mean, it's always been the question with him.
Part of that opportunity is to be running that far away from the line of scrimmage and have Ryan Tannehill hit you in stride, too. Like, it's not just the opportunity to play or just the opportunity to beat the DB. You've also got to have Tannehill hit. I don't know. I mean, maybe he'll have a Ted Ginn season.
I'm never going to feel good starting Stills.
I
know that he's supposed to be in that same Will Fuller type of category. But until it is clear that he's got that role on lock, not going to get it taken away, I don't feel good about starting him. Do I want to carry him on my bench? Yeah, I get that.
I think he'll.
I don't know if I want to start him.
He'll be much more highly owned once the buys start.
Well, look, if he has a good game this week, they get the Browns in week 3. So if Devontae Parker is still left in the third role, because that's what it's going to be. If he's still left as the third guy, not one of those top two starters, with Jarvis Landry, it's been a historically very good spot in the Adam Gase offense. That was my argument for him. So if he keeps that spot for the whole season, I think the numbers will follow.
All right, guys. If you want to go see that Patriots game, why don't you be like one of our listeners, and his name is Aaron. I got a tweet yesterday from a listener named Aaron, and he said, "My brother is flying up from Florida, and we are going to a Cubs playoff game. We are using SeatGeek." Good for you, Aaron. You should all be more like Aaron. You should all use SeatGeek when you need to buy or sell tickets online. Why? Because you'll get better results when you search for tickets, and you'll save $20 on your first purchase with our offer code FFT, as in Fantasy Football Today, FFT. That's the offer code that you need to use. If you forget the code, please feel free to tweet me or email us. I will remind you. Now, when you look for tickets on SeatGeek, SeatGeek does all the price comparison for you by searching multiple ticket sites and ensuring you get the best possible deal. And when you search for an event, you see a bunch of dots that represent all the available seats, and they're going to be from several sources. The greener the dot, the better the bargain. It's a really cool feature. Check it out on the SeatGeek app. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the app, the free SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab and click add a promo code. Enter the promo code FFT, FFT as in Fantasy Football Today. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. I've already taken advantage of this. You need to do it too. Download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code FFT. The injuries, news, and notes. Chris Ivory out of the hospital. Probably not going to play this week at San Diego.
Probably not.
So you gotta like Spiller, right?
Spiller?
Spiller's my next note. You gotta like Yeldon, right?
A lot. Yes. Very much so.
Hopefully the Saints got CJ Spiller. You gotta not like CJ Spiller. Right.
So we're gonna call the Ingram Spiller receptions contest.
Yeah, it's probably over.
Okay.
The Dolphins put defensive tackle Earl Mitchell on IR. The Seahawks are confident that Russell Wilson will play, according to NFL Network. They are at the Rams, which is never good for the Seahawks. Is Wilson a start this week?
Barely.
Not for me.
You took him out of your top 12?
He was when I did my rankings initially.
Mm. I would start Matt Ryan over him.
Yep.
I would start Derek Carr over him.
Yep.
I don't think there's anybody else that you would have on your bench that I would start over him.
You want some stats on Wilson against the Rams?
Yeah.
He's played them 8 times in the last 4 years, as you're well aware. Mm-hmm. In those 8 games, he's averaged 18 fantasy points against them. He's had 3 over 20 fantasy points and 5 at 18 or less. His high was 40. His low was 1.
1 is bad.
1 is pretty
one
bad.
1 is bad.
He had 1 fantasy point.
I do think, I'll say ankle. This, and I could be wrong. This is a bad spot just because the Rams are going to be pissed off.
Yep.
But I think we're going to have a lot of stats about players against the Rams, especially in St. Louis, that are kind of irrelevant now because that dome created such an environment that they're not going to have in Los Angeles.
Their home opener, I think they will.
They probably will for this first game.
Well,
I think the thing that's a little nerve-wracking is if you were to say that Russell Wilson would have a career high in pass attempts, which he did last week against Miami with 43,
right?
That you would say, oh my God, what are the numbers?
Yeah, Tyler Lockett played bad.
And the numbers were bad. Everybody played bad till the end.
Offensive line issues there.
Yeah. And you got a mad Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
Boy,
yeah,
was he mad. That's what they're going to do. They're going to get after him.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Case Keenum's going to remain the Rams quarterback.
Oh, CJ
CJ Procise is questionable with a wrist injury, so that could mean more catches for Rawls or Michael. And do you expect the following players, yes or no? Rob Gronkowski against Miami.
No. Hopeful, but you can't say yes to that.
Jamal Charles at Houston.
No.
Not right now.
Julio Jones and Mohamed Sanu at Oakland.
Yep.
Yes.
Demaryius Thomas against Indianapolis.
Yep.
Yes.
Sammy Watkins tomorrow night against the Jets.
Yep.
Yes.
Julius Thomas at San Diego.
Yes.
Yep. Yes.
Devontae Parker at New England.
No.
Marcus Wheaton against Cincinnati.
I don't know.
Who?
I have no news on Marcus Wheaton.
No, I think it's, you know, I do want to see how it affects Eli Rogers.
No, I'm not saying it's not relevant. I'm saying I've heard absolutely nothing. I have no reason to believe one way or the other.
What do you guys think? First of all, when he comes back, and also when Le'Veon Bell comes back, will that negatively affect Eli Rogers?
I don't think so. I think
but not dramatically.
He's in that same 6 targets a week neighborhood.
Okay. Before we do the buy lows and the sell highs, let's get the Jets and Bills out of the way.
Na, 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 na.
Oh, yeah, the Thursday night football theme music on our show. Great. Week 2 Thursday night games, there have been four of them. And here were the scores. Packers 23, Bears 10. Patriots 13, Jets 10. Bad, bad weather game, if you recall, in 2013. Baltimore 26, Pittsburgh 6. And last year, what a wild game. Denver 31, Kansas City 24. So in three of the four games, we had 33 points or less. You know, and we just don't like Thursday night for offense. So can we just say you're sitting the quarterbacks?
Sure. Yeah, if you can.
Oh, yeah.
They both were bad against each other last year, too.
Yeah, Fitzpatrick wasn't very good. I think 18 points in fantasy points. Is there anyone you would start Fitzpatrick over, or is he just like Rivers?
No, I would try not to start Ryan Fitzpatrick.
No, I would not start him.
He couldn't even complete half his passes against Buffalo last year.
And I watched some of that. He looked extremely inaccurate in week one.
And last year, that was the meltdown game. 3 fourth quarter interceptions against Buffalo.
The Thursday nighter?
No.
The seventh week.
Final
17.
Game of the season.
Yeah.
If they win, they're in the playoffs and they lose.
Rex lost his old team.
And he lost it for him.
Okay, how about the running backs, guys? What do you think?
Love them both.
Me too.
Especially Forte.
I'm not as excited about them, but I'm starting them both.
Spencer Ware, D'Angelo Williams, or these guys?
I'd put McCoy over both of those.
I'd go Forte over those two.
I think I would too.
I would definitely take Williams over both of them.
These guys are all good.
Yeah. I would start Ware over both of them too.
Yeah, so McCoy, if people are wondering, because the Jets do have a great run defense, and now I think it's like going back to last year, it's 7 games in a row with week 1 and the last 6 games of last year. Only one running back has rushed for more than 31 yards against the Jets. So you guys are just banking on McCoy on Thursday, which he was great against the Jets last year. Is that why you like him?
I think you get at least what you got from him last week.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I see his floor. And so that's why I like Forte a little bit better, because Buffalo still was so banged up and he was so just, I don't want to say dominant, but he looked amazing last week.
I'm going to be curious to watch the Buffalo defense on Thursday night, because I don't think the Jets offense is particularly good. And we were worried about Buffalo's defense being banged up, but they were really good in week 1. And it's the Ravens. Maybe the Ravens are just awful offensively. But I would be happy to start the Bills defense.
I think Marshall is not necessarily in the squeaky wheel category, but after watching Quincy Anunua dominate targets for them, Marshall doesn't like to be. He's not the kind of guy I think that likes to have a bad game on a primetime matchup.
Well, I was going to ask you about the wide receivers now. Marshall, Decker, Watkins. How would you rank them?
You did.
In that order.
Yep.
So where's Watkins for you guys?
Third.
He's just outside of my top 24 receiver. I think he looked okay at the end of the game against Baltimore. He looked speedy, really quick out of his cuts. So if he's got an issue with his foot, I don't know when it happened.
My concern with him is that if the foot is bothering him at some point during the game, does he come out?
Yeah, I've got him 33rd mostly because of that. I think if he plays 4 full quarters, Dave's ranking is probably more right than mine is.
I would try and avoid him if I possibly could.
Would you start Will Fuller over Sammy Watkins?
No.
Yes.
Dave?
I believe I would.
Would you start Stephon Diggs over Sammy Watkins?
In PPR
for sure. Standard league, I don't know if I would.
I would not in standard.
How about Willie Snead or Sammy Watkins?
Willie Snead for sure.
Yep.
And like, how? Give me a scenario where you could justify benching Eric Decker.
If you have Willie Snead, Larry Fitzgerald,
Michael Floyd, Emmanuel Sanders,
Floyd or Fitzgerald. I'll still start Marvin Jones. I still think he's got a good shot. This
Marvin
week.
Over Decker.
And how about Julian Edelman against Miami?
Yep, great history there.
Yeah.
But in general, you're okay with Decker as a number 2?
Yeah, I think if you draft him. Like, I'm in a league where I have Allen Robinson, Kelvin Benjamin, and Decker. And I think I'm playing Langford over Decker this week as a flex.
And I think if you feel the same way about Decker as you do LeSean, where you expect him to repeat what he did last week, you'll be okay. He had a touchdown in each game against Buffalo last year, at least 5 catches, 50 yards in each of those games. Brandon Marshall also had a touchdown in each game against Buffalo last year.
Yeah, you know, both Decker and Marshall caught a touchdown in each game, which, surprise, surprise, they seem to do that every week. The last thing here, the Jets DST is only 67% owned. They had 7 sacks against the Bengals last week. The Bills had major offensive line problems, and their left tackle, Cordy Glenn, what's his status? I know he's questionable with the ankle.
Doesn't sound like he's going to play, but I'm not sure on that.
Right, and that would make things even worse for Buffalo's passing
game. To answer the question we were getting to, if the Jets are on the waiver wire in your league, they're the number one DST yet, I think.
For Baltimore?
Week, for streaming. I'd rather have the Jets, I think.
Really?
Yeah. Thursday night, I'm expecting this to be an extremely low-scoring, ugly game. I mean, it's Thursday.
So I just want to tell you one of my biggest – I can't say it was a fail. I just didn't have the waiver wire priority, but – the thing that made me the angriest with my waiver wire was in the IDP league, I submitted a claim to pick up Leonard Williams, and I didn't get him. So, damn you, IDP league.
Oh,
he's
Adam
awesome.
Said he didn't get a player.
Breakout star. All right, guys, let's do some buy low, sell high. And first thing is first, Spencer Ware, D'Angelo Williams. What do we think about them? And we will read your emails a little bit later and your tweets and some grade the trade. But here's a couple of Spencer Ware questions. This is from Joel from a cornfield in Iowa. He says, hey, Gordy, Chris, Vern, and Teddy. Oh, shame on you.
I wasn't paying attention. What is it?
Gordy, Chris, Vern, and Teddy is Stand By Me.
Hmm. Yes, it is.
Yeah. What do you think about offering Spencer Ware to the Charles owner for his Devontae Freeman?
It's good if you can get it.
I think that Ware, you mentioned Ware and D'Angelo together. I think Ware is the guy you can sell high on. Nobody has this expectation that Le'Veon Bell is going to come back in 2 weeks and D'Angelo Williams is still going to be relevant. But there are certainly people out there that are thinking that Ware is just taking the job right now.
Really?
Oh, I think so.
Taking the job.
Well, let me read the next tweet. It's from Hutch. What if, and it's kind of funny because we just had the should I trade Ware for Freeman. Hutch says, what if Spencer Ware is this year's Devontae Freeman? Do I hold him or do I trade high?
Then you definitely want to sell high after 4 good weeks.
Can we just keep in mind that he did this against San Diego? And San Diego's defense was one we spotlighted all preseason as being crappy.
Yeah.
But he was a monster against San Diego.
And Can Diego.
I mean, could
Can Diego.
Would it surprise you if he gets 100 total yards and touchdowns?
No, it wouldn't surprise me, but I don't think he's getting 170 in a touchdown.
Well, of course not. That's insane.
Like, I think we've seen Spencer Ware's best game. Well, Kansas City sitting to my right, would you agree?
If he would have had the same number of yards just running the ball and on like 25 or 30 carries, I don't think it would have been as surprising as how he did it. We didn't expect Spencer Ware to be a factor in the passing game, and he looked great. I mean, he only had 70 yards rushing because the game script was so bad.
Yep.
And in a terrible game script, he goes and catches 7 passes for 129 yards. Right.
At Houston, then the Jets, then at Pittsburgh, then a bye. And by then, you've got to figure Jamal Charles is back.
Yeah. Oh, sell high.
If Spencer Ware isn't a sell high now, this time next week, he is.
He's 100% a sell high. But if he's able to come out of these games still playing at a very high level, if not a dominant level, if you're Andy Reid, why would you go away from that?
I wouldn't, but I don't think he would be a safe fantasy start.
Look, can I ask
a
question?
If he's splitting time with Jamal Charles, it makes him a lot more risky.
Can I ask a question here?
I don't know.
So this is why, remember, Jamie and I, we got into the on-air argument last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever. What I don't understand, Jamie, is why you feel that way about the Charles situation, but not the Le'Veon Bell situation, as the why won't the coach just go back to the starter, you know?
Because there's a sample size of that, though. There's a 5-game sample size of what they did with D'Angelo Williams when Le'Veon was back after his suspension.
Okay, so that's it?
I think the other thing, because I don't really want to take one side or other in that whole discussion, but D'Angelo's 33 years old. Spencer Ware may very well be the future, and Charles is the older back. So it makes more sense that there's a transition from Charles to Ware that I don't think is going to happen once Charles is healthy. But it doesn't make a lot of sense to get extra work for your 33-year-old back.
I'll tell you what. I've got Spencer Ware in one of my leagues. It's a PPR league. I do not have Jamal Charles. Am I trying to trade him? Maybe a little bit, but I'm loaded at receiver and I'm loaded at running back. I don't have any need to trade him. I don't mind if I use him right now and then sit on him for a while and then see what develops in Kansas City. Does that mean that eventually Jamal Charles is going to come back and get 20 carries a game? Well, look, for everybody that drafted Jamal Charles, that's what you better damn hope for. And then that means Spencer Ware is minimalized, and then maybe I'm missing an opportunity to trade Ware, but I'm not necessarily in a hurry to trade him. I would, especially if I needed the help. So if I've got Spencer Ware and I lost Keenan Allen, Ware's getting traded for a wide receiver. If I've got Spencer Ware and another running back that I'm just not happy with, Ware's getting traded again as well. And the other thing, I said it yesterday, I'll say it again. Make an offer on Jamal Charles if you've got Spencer Ware. Maybe the Jamal Charles owner is unhappy with how things are progressing, and you could get him at a pretty nice discount. And then you've got the Chiefs backfield locked up, and you should be in hog heaven.
That's a good idea. Maybe that's the way to approach it. And maybe you make an offer on Le'Veon Bell if you're the D'Angelo Williams owner.
But that's going to be a harder get. And,
it
and
is.
This is where Jamie's coming from. Just overall on the landscape, when you compare Le'Veon to Jamal Charles, Le'Veon's healthy right now. Jamal Charles is close to healthy, should be back soon. But the fact that he's not back puts a bad taste in our mouth.
And you also laid out the scenario. It's week 6 or week 5 is their bye.
Who, for Kansas City?
Yeah.
Yeah, week 5.
Right. So you may have to sit out. They may just keep Charles rested until week 6.
And they're not
doing
that as
Le'Veon's
no matter what, Le'Veon's
playing.
Coming back week 4.
Right.
So,
against Kansas City, by the way.
To sum it up, because we have some D'Angelo Williams questions too. Like Alex wants to know, would you trade D'Angelo Williams for Jeremy Hill?
Quickly, yes.
You would do that, okay.
Yeah.
And somebody got offered Andrew Luck. Oh, this is from Sam from a city by the bay. How was that journey?
Terrible.
It was terrible.
It sounded like auto-tune.
That's what he wrote, so I decided to sing it for him. I got offered Luck for D'Angelo in my 12-team PPR league. Like, you
oh, my
do that,
Lord.
Right?
Yeah. Bye-bye, D'Angelo.
See, that don't yell at me for making
that. Who's trading Andrew Luck for D'Angelo Williams? Why doesn't this ever happen to me in my leagues?
Somebody who drafted Luck and
Stafford?
Maybe.
Do you know why it
doesn't
happen?
Why are you going after D'Angelo, you nudnik? Go get somebody better.
Do you know why it doesn't happen to you? Because you don't send trades every night that are just completely unreasonable because you feel guilty about doing it because you have a conscience, unlike some people.
It's not because I feel guilty. I would do it if I had the time. I'm a total jerk when it comes to this. I'll do anything to win my league.
I got a trade offer in our
like,
podcast league. I got a trade offer in our podcast league this morning from, I don't know who the owner is, but the team name is Funches and Bunches, and offered me Le'Veon Bell for CJ Anderson, Devontae Booker, and Marvin Jones.
Oh, God.
I don't
know.
It's not that bad.
No.
In a PPR league.
Would you have considered that trade before the season started?
Not in a 14-team league.
Heath, can you tell me if this trade offer that I made was insulting?
Did you make the trade offer?
I offered it to
the
same owner,
yes.
Actually. To the Philip Rivers and I think Andy Dalton owner.
I'm insulted every time I see your name in my email inbox.
Oh, great. I offered him Josh Gordon and Jameis Winston for Brandon Marshall. 14-team league.
It's a bad trade offer, but like I don't think it reaches Adam Azer. There's no way he's accepting it.
The trade chart says Marshall is favored.
Yeah,
significantly.
It got rejected. He said, too rich. Who am I, Richard Branson? And then this morning I offered another trade. Yeah, you know, it's a little bit too complicated, so I won't get into it. It's a 7-player deal. It's annoying.
Seven-player deal?
Yeah.
Adam's getting 6 of the players.
I'm giving Jameis Winston, I'm getting his first 6 picks. all right, so let's go back to the show notes here. What your final word of advice to, I think we covered Spencer Ware, how about to D'Angelo Williams owners? What should the D'Angelo Williams owner do right now?
Sell high.
If you can, of course. But otherise, you got him for a reason. Write him out as your number one guy.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of running backs.
The value
after
for him
Jeremy
is not
Hill
going
that
to
I would
change.
Take. Like, what's Jeremy, that? We said yes quickly to the Jeremy Hill thing, but there's not a lot of running backs after Jeremy Hill that I would take for Williams.
Would you do it for Abdullah?
Ooh, yeah. I would, but I've had Abdullah ranked in the Jeremy Hill range. So.
Would you do it for Gordon?
Yeah.
Would you do it for Rashad Jennings?
If I need to start him this week and I'm going to get that 35 points, then sure.
I'd rather start D'Angelo Williams than Rashad Jennings this week. How about you guys?
Yes.
Yeah, but I mean, again, Jennings could certainly have much more longevity.
I've got him the same in the trade chart.
They just don't trust. When the push comes to shove, the Giants throw the ball. I think that's my issue with Rashad Jennings.
Usually the teams that have great quarterbacks do that.
Yeah, but like Roethlisberger, they'll run the ball. They ran the ball a ton.
They have good running backs.
They're sitting on the lead, too.
Yeah, they were. And Jennings isn't involved enough in the passing game.
No.
So,
Again, I'd make that deal. You have 2 more games of D'Angelo. You could have 12 more games of Rashad Jennings being relevant.
But I think D'Angelo's value is not going to change much over the next 2 weeks. So you might as well just ride out D'Angelo. It'll go down a little bit.
I mean, look, it's the, you went receiver heavy. D'Angelo is one of your top running backs that you drafted to get you through these few weeks to maybe make a trade.
Yeah.
I think if you're the D'Angelo owner and you don't have Le'Veon, you should approach the Le'Veon owner and see what they give you, because they would take it for the 2 weeks if they don't have a good running back situation. And then they have that security blanket knowing that if Bell gets hurt again.
Especially if the Le'Veon Bell owner is 0-1. That's a good scenario to reach out to the guy.
Yep.
Or girl. So, Jamie mentioned Melvin Gordon, and you have Gordon as a sell-high candidate, and I think he is a pretty interesting player right now. Tell me why you're selling high on Melvin Gordon.
Well, I think he's just trying to get his get something in return that could be great while his value may be at its highest. I mean, this is a guy who scored 0 touchdowns last year, and he scored 2 already. So, I think he's going to be good. I mean, I've said that for the majority of our shows coming into the season, and he has what should be a good offensive line and hopefully a better game plan now that no Keenan Allen's there. So, I don't think he's going to be awful, but you saw what happened. He was running well, scored 2 touchdowns, and for whatever reason, they got away from him. And who knows how teams are going to approach them now without Keenan Allen there. So you got to be getting something very significant in return to help your team.
Like what?
Like Dave said, you know, if you're the Keenan Allen owner, if you had both Chargers on your team and you need a receiver and somebody's willing to give you something of, I don't know, I would say Willie Snead, Michael Floyd,
I would want something better than that for Gordon.
Really?
Yeah.
Part of it is position scarcity.
Oh, I think Snead's going to be.
I think Snead's going to be good.
A top 25 to 30 receiver.
Yeah,
the rest
but
of the year.
Melvin Gordon could be a top 12 running back.
He could. It just depends on what your team looks like. I mean, again, I'm not trying to say just give him away because you need a receiver, because I'd rather play the waiver wire and take my chances on Tyrell Williams and Eli Rogers just to see what's there. But if you can get somebody that you feel comfortable starting and are in a desperate situation at a different spot, and somebody's giving you a player that you like or potentially love, then you make a deal.
Okay. Heath, buy low, sell high, anything you want. Who do you want to talk about here?
Let's go buy low on the Arizona Cardinals wide receivers not named Larry Fitzgerald.
Okay.
Would you sell him high?
Larry took a big jump this week.
I wouldn't be able to sell him high in any of our leagues because nobody believes in Larry Fitzgerald.
You've got him in all of our leagues.
Yes.
But the Keenan Allen owner might.
Yeah. I would sell him if you could get top 15 wide receiver value. But I wouldn't. I had him ranked right around 20 coming into the year, so I'm not going to sell him for anything less than that.
But led the team in targets, catches, yards, scored twice.
I mean, the targets and catches thing, I think, will continue throughout the year. And I mean, we talk about red zone. He was their most used receiver in the red zone last year. He was in week one. We'll see if that changes going forward.
The funny thing, though, you made the Devontae Freeman joke. It's the same thing that's unfolding with Fitzgerald.
Yeah,
as well.
I would definitely buy that low though on Floyd and Brown. Cause I think you can get Brown for almost nothing and you can get Floyd for a lot less than you could have on draft day.
He has another bad game. You're going to start to see people dropping.
Both of them.
I don't think Floyd.
You don't think nobody's dropping Floyd.
No, but John Brown.
Yeah, Brown, I could see it. So Dave, give me a buy low or a sell high.
Buy low. Randall Cobb.
Okay. Go on.
He had a bad game statistically, but he was very involved in the Packers offense. I think this week could be another tough game for him going up against Minnesota. And then after that, we've crowed about their schedule all season long. Detroit, bye, Giants, Cowboys, Bears, those are all at home.
Yeah.
So Cobb is eventually going to get going. And I'll tell you what, I thought Jordy, it was great to see him back, but there was something a little bit off on him.
Slow.
I thought he was a little slower than normal.
They didn't learn their lesson, which is so frustrating. Hey, go make a play.
Mm-hmm.
No rub routes, no moving guys around in the formation.
Yeah.
Just go make a play. Go out, turn around, and let Aaron Rodgers make a play.
Right.
Do something different.
Yeah.
So stupid.
But I just think that Cobb is going to get, obviously he's going to have better games, and I think he's going to continue to get more opportunities. And I think he's one of those receivers, along with Michael Floyd, Marvin Jones, that you target if you lost Keenan Allen, because I think the trade value is going to be really low.
Heath, another one. Buy low or sell high?
I'll go sell high on the other San Diego Chargers running back, Danny Woodhead. He's not getting 16 carries a game this year. I don't believe that. One of the things I got on Twitter yesterday was, somebody has offered me Jamal Charles for Danny Woodhead. Should I take it?
Oh, my what?
Yeah.
Oh,
you should. And I would take Jeremy Hill for Danny Woodhead.
I just chortled.
And it wasn't even a fake chortle.
No, that's right.
You would take Hill for Woodhead in a PPR league?
PPR, it's very, very close.
Yeah, I think it's even.
Yeah.
Here, wait, just let me give you something here, because this is good. What's the scenario now? Danny Woodhead's last 8 games after Keenan Allen was out. You ready for his fantasy production in a PPR league?
Yeah.
22 points the first game without him. 1 point the next game. That was against the Chiefs, but he was terrible against the Chiefs all year last year. 9-6-3, 36-18-14. So,
yeah, you just summed up Danny Woodhead. There's going to be big weeks
so
and bad
weeks. He had 4 great games and 3 awful?
It's very frustrating. You know, there's one guy that I wanted to talk about. I don't think he's a buy low or a sell high, but I'm very happy with where I drafted him. I think he's in line for a big year. I think he's legit. Doug Baldwin.
Thoughts?
Yeah, I mean,
I
agree.
He looked good. Tyler Lockett did not look good. Running game did not look good. So, you know, if this is going to be the norm of, well, I mean, let's be realistic. How many games do you expect Russell Wilson to throw 40 plus times?
I don't think the Seahawks want him to do that very much.
Six more?
Five more.
Five more? That's fair. This could be one of them.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, if that's the case, Baldwin's going to be great.
You could tell right away in the preseason that their rhythm is perfect.
Would you sell high on Abdullah?
I'd consider it. I would also consider selling high on Murray, DeMarco Murray. After I don't see him getting 2 touchdowns in another game this year.
Receiving?
Yeah, especially receiving. But you'd have to find somebody who doesn't know about the trade chart in order to do that.
Yeah, I just think the fact that he was the one in on those plays inside the 10-yard line tells me he's going to score a lot more touchdowns than we thought he was going to.
Right, but do you think Henry going to get 2 touchdowns a week again this season?
In 15 games? If he does not get hurt the rest of the year, I think he'll have a game where he scores 2 touchdowns.
How many yards did he have on top of that?
Somewhere 60, 80, I would think.
All right.
Is DeMarco Murray we're talking
so
about?
He had like 20, yeah. So he had like 20 fantasy points against Minnesota. Huge surprise. Is he getting 20 more in a game again this season?
Well,
he plays
come
the Colts
on,
twice.
That's a ridiculous standard
it's
to hold
him
to.
I'm just saying, this is the definition of sell high.
No,
yeah, I think he will score 20 fantasy points again if he gets to play the Colts twice.
Well, that's a good point. I don't know if he'll get that many, but he's going to get a bunch of double digit games. DeMarco didn't quite get the numbers I thought he was going to get, get him the same way.
There's a guy just popped up on the TV screen in front of us. We sell high on Carlos Hyde right now.
Yes, that's a great one to sell high on. That's perfect.
Man.
National television scores 2 touchdowns.
I can't.
I can.
He made some great moves.
I mean, look, the last two guys we talked about, if they play 16 games, they're going to be great. That's the thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And let's go to all right. Let's do rest of season rankings. Then I'll finish with grade the trade. 3 quarterbacks. Rank them rest of season. Jameis Winston, Philip Rivers, Matthew Stafford.
Stafford, Winston, Rivers.
Yep. Stafford, Winston, Rivers.
Stafford, Winston, Rivers it is. Amir Abdullah, Jeremy Hill, Devontae Freeman.
Ugh. I'm still going to put Freeman at the top of the list and Abdullah at the bottom.
Wow.
My gut is
Hill, Abdullah, Freeman.
Yes. Thankfully, I don't have a page that says season-long ranking, so I don't have to put Devontae Freeman behind the best. But I'm scared. I mean, it's not one game. It's like half a season, if you count last year.
It's not just that, though. They didn't give Tevin Coleman a chance.
Last year.
After the first 2 games. Yeah. Right. I mean, Devontae was so good. And
he
then
broke
he came
that
in.
Long catch last week, and he earned being the hot hand, and Devontae definitely got stuck. He didn't have a lot of numbers.
Do you have Freeman in any leagues?
Maybe a couple.
You?
No.
I have him in 1. I have no other choice but to start him.
Right.
But I can't imagine anybody that's a Devontae Freeman owner feels comfortable starting Devontae
Freeman. No, no. And I feel bad for anybody who took him in 1. Although I guess I shouldn't.
So I mentioned this before. So in our auction league, I paid $3 for Tevin Coleman. When I did it, I hated it. And then I dropped him and Adam and I were having this discussion. I was like, you know, I'm never going to play Tevin Coleman. What if this Charkandrick West report is actually legit? So I dropped Tevin Coleman I picked up Charkandrick West for $0 bid, dropped Tevin Coleman. And I said to Adam, because we were online when I did this, I said, I'm going to end up regretting this. I know it. Uh-huh. So what happens? Tevin Coleman comes out and plays well. So I purposely overspent to get Tevin Coleman. I spent $21 of a $100 budget to get him. Because I told Adam this last night. I said, it's going to like just crush my soul if I know that I made that stupid, stupid move and then watched him blow up to be Devontae Freeman this year.
So you have $24 total investment in Tevin Coleman.
Yeah, I mean, if you count the other. Yeah, of course I got him. I mean, if somebody else paid more than that, I was like, okay, go ahead. You can have him.
Well, that That's why I'm a little hesitant to sell high on Ameer Abdullah, because I think he's got huge potential.
But you got to get something that you feel even better that. That's the whole purpose of selling high.
Yeah, yeah, you do.
Like if you could get Michael Floyd for Ameer Abdullah right now, as high as you were on Floyd, would you do it?
Yeah, I would do that.
So
yeah.
That's a great trade.
Yeah, and a realistic one. Okay, yes. A few more here: Demaryius Thomas, Doug Baldwin, Kelvin Benjamin.
Benjamin, Baldwin, Thomas, but they're all very close to each other.
I think you almost have to, with the uncertainty of Thomas's hip, to put him last.
Yeah. Man, if Thomas is healthy, he's first, though, is the problem. I'll go Benjamin, Thomas, Baldwin.
What do you think happens to Thomas's stats when Paxton Lynch plays? Do you think they go up, or is it going to be
last year with Peyton Manning and Brock Osweiler playing? The same thing that, look, he
with, meaning that it's not an upgrade at quarterback if Paxton Lynch takes over.
If there was no hip situation at all, knowing what you saw last week, knowing what the Colts looked like last week, where would you put Demaryius Thomas right now?
I'd still have a hard time putting him top 12, but he'd be top 18.
Yeah.
Top 15.
I mean,
maybe.
And he may be fine. You know, we don't know. I would assume there's something bothering him, but he may be okay. Play through it. Yeah. Like, if I have Demaryius Thomas, I'm not benching him this week if he plays.
Okay, guys. Last one, and then we'll read the tweets and emails. Dwayne Allen, Antonio Gates, Eric Ebron. Dwayne Allen, Antonio Gates, Eric Ebron.
Gates, Ebron, Allen.
Ebron, Allen, Gates.
Gates, Ebron, Allen.
Jamie going Ebron first, and then Heath and Dave going Ebron last on that list.
No, we said Gates,
no.
Ebron, Allen.
Allen's last.
I think they're all three
Allen.
Starters, though.
Okay, I'm sorry. Wow. So, okay, honestly, the one game that has the biggest chance to completely screw us up in terms of how we're evaluating players is last week's Colts Lions game, right? Like the Lions players look great, and Dwayne Allen looked great, and we just don't know. Those might be great matchups. Although the Lions are playing better defense at the end of last year. You know what I'm saying here?
Mentioned this yesterday, and I went back and looked at it just in terms of Stafford. His last nine games, going back to their bye week last year, he's averaging.
I believe this is the Cooter trend.
This is the Cooter trend. He's averaging basically 279.9 passing yards a game, so 280 passing yards a game, 22 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. I mean, if that's not a big enough sample size to say that this offense works for him, I don't know what you need, what more you need.
And maybe most importantly for Ebron, a huge percentage of his throws are within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage. Like, they're not throwing it deep as often as they did. And those are the types of routes that Ebron's going to have success with.
Okay.
But I think all these guys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, every one of them.
Like, and we didn't really see it. I think Anquan Boldin's still going to be a decent player. I don't know, fantasy player, but decent player. He only had 3 targets in that game. So I don't think it's necessarily a fair assessment of what these guys will or will not be for either side. Like, it's going to be a more interesting test for the Colts and what they do this week and how good you'll feel about those guys moving forward.
Yeah.
Because if they come out of the game against Denver with monster stats, you're going to be like, oh, my God, this is the greatest offense ever.
That game tomorrow. Team name Tuesday on a Wednesday. Grade the team name. This is from Joshua. Lights, Kamar, Aiken.
Okay. I like it.
Not bad, right?
C minus.
Okay. Now let's grade some trades. From Emmanuel, Edelman and Tajay Sharp for Russell Wilson and Kyle Rudolph. Edelman and Tajay Sharp for Wilson and Rudolph.
It's good if it's a 2 quarterback league.
It's not
bad in any other league.
C minus.
It's a terrible trade. I'd rather have Edelman and Tajay.
Dave still refusing to grade trades?
I never did grade trades.
That would be still refusing.
Right.
Okay. From David. Gave up Gio Bernard for Travis Benjamin as the Keenan Allen owner. Grade the trade. Standard scoring.
D.
Yeah, you gave up a little too much, but I understand why you had to do it.
Jamie, are you playing?
Yeah, sure. Love it.
Gio Bernard for Travis Benjamin. I hate you guys. From Eric.
What do you mean? I'm giving grades.
No, Heath, I love you, Heath.
Okay.
That's why we're sharing a podcast league team. From Eric, I trade away Blunt.
See if you'll curse at me like you did, Dave, on the air.
I trade away Blunt and Martellus Bennett for Barnage. He doesn't think he would ever use Blunt, so he gives up Blunt and Bennett for Gary Barnage.
Nah.
Did anybody make a good trade this week?
Gary Barnidge was the number two tight end in fantasy, number four in PPR last year.
How many points do you get for that now?
He's got his quarterback back.
People, there might have been people in leagues that were ready to dump Gary Barnidge for nothing. You gave up Blunt, and Martellus Bennett for him.
I'd rather have Barnidge than Bennett.
I'd rather have Blunt than any of them.
I guess if you really like Barnage, it's worth it.
Let's see.
It probably won't kill you by the end of the year, but it is a little too much. Too much.
Gary Barnage averaged 87 yards per game and six touchdowns. No, he didn't average six touchdowns, and he scored six touchdowns
with what's-his-face.
In seven games.
Yeah, half of McCown's passing touchdowns.
You know why McCown never plays 16 games? Because he's not good and he always gets hurt.
Yeah.
So do you expect him to be the starter for 15 games moving forward?
Well, and the other thing is, I mean, there's a legitimate chance that Gary Barnage, Justin Forsett's. When you have a breakout year at 30 years old after never being a starter, you're probably not really that good.
And I wonder if, you know, this was the problem with Eifert last year. Eifert was so good scoring touchdowns, but he didn't get the targets that you would expect from an elite level tight end. I wonder if just Hugh Jackson doesn't lean on that spot as much as he might have to.
Okay, fair.
And we saw it last week. I mean, no targets?
Who?
Luke from Barnage. Chicago, grade the trade.
Target. Okay, two targets.
Standard scoring. Give up Lacey and Corey Coleman. Lacey and Corey Coleman. Get DeMarco Murray and Tajay Sharp.
What is it again? Lacey and Corey Coleman?
For DeMarco Murray and Tajay Sharp.
C.
I'd rather have Lacey and Coleman.
I would too.
So that means you need to give it a grade less than a C.
D. But I'm going to give it a C.
I don't grade.
And last one is from Ian. He says, "Dear, I already read this one. It's AJ Green for Odell Beckham." But he says, "Dear Bill,
I give you a D as a host today.
Dear Bill, Mike, and Chuck, who are they?
Guys? Oh, wait a minute, Steelers coaches.
Oh, okay, yeah, good call. Dave, are you just mad at me because I cursed you to start the show?
You're gonna find out just how mad I am.
I don't want to do an outro. I don't have it in me today. I don't have.
Oh, you're doing it. Are you ready?
No, I'm not ready.
And now.
No, please give me the day off.
For Adam Azer to wrap up the podcast.
No, I have nothing. I'm running on empty here. This is a very difficult challenge for me. I can't do it. Give me the day off. Let me refresh. Let me recharge the batteries.
Come on, Adam. We know you've got it in you.
For Heath Cummings, Dave Richard, and Jamie Eisenberg, I'm Adam Azer. Thanks for listening. Back tomorrow with the starter sit for the AFC home games.
Bye.